says there's a spiritual will of God for your life. Say amen right there. I mean, when he got there, he saw the purpose that God had for him. He saw the power of God in that meal not going away, in that cruise. He saw the power of God in that child being raised from the dead. But it had to happen there. You had to be there for that to happen. And then he saw God's provision. But that's not my message. I won't charge you for that one, okay? Verse number 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Boy, that's awful demanding of the preacher, isn't it? Give me a glass of water, give me a piece of bread to eat. Boy, there's a whole lot of people getting mad about that today, but that woman, she got a blessing out of doing it, didn't she? Hey, if y'all listen to the preacher preaching the word of God, you'd probably get some more blessings in your life. Amen. Amen. Verse number 12. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Boy, oh boy, this sounds like a bad situation here. Verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Topel, how about praying for us before we preach? Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach you a message on this widow of Zarephath, and I want you to look at it as it could be you and I in any town that we live in, okay? I read a book. It was called Faith of Our Fathers. It was by John McCain, Senator John McCain. That man's about 80 years old today, and he's got some health issues with blood clots or something like that. But anyway, John McCain, as most of you all know, he was a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. And his dad and his grandfather were both admirals in the Navy, so he came from a military family. And the fact of the matter is, while John McCain was in a Vietnamese prison, his father was a commander-in-chief of the Pacific Fleet. That was in 1967. But in this book, he wrote A Faith of Our Fathers. And I'm not sure that John McCain was a saved man, but he did say this about our country and serving and fighting for our country. And he said, and I'm quoting, he said, "Nothing in life is more liberating than to fight for a cause larger than yourself. Something that encompasses you, but is not defined by your existence alone." That's quite a statement right there. And I want to tell you, as a 64-year-old man that's been saved 42 years and preaching for 41 years, I want to tell you, it is a wonderful, wonderful blessing to have been involved in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is something totally encompassing of me. It's totally larger than me. And when I'm done, the service of God will just continue on by the grace of God. But it has been my privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We support over 50 missionaries, and those letters come in, and you read about people getting saved, and you read about people's lives being changed, and you read about these missionaries and things that God is doing in their lives. What a privilege that we have. Then God opens doors for us to go and preach meetings around the world, and it's just a privilege to serve the Lord. We get to go into the prisons, we get to go into juveniles, we get to go into the shelters, we get to go into nursing homes, and we get to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, What a privilege it is. Now, getting back to 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to tell you something. This lady is in a despairing situation. You'd call it a crisis. Now, listen to me. She's a widow. That's bad enough, losing your husband. But she's poor. You know what she's learned? Life is not fair. It seems, as you read the passage, that she has come to an end. Remember in verse number 1, Elijah had prayed, there's no rain, there's no dew for 3.5 years. No rain, no crops. No crops, no food. The reason she said, I'm just because there's no more meal to buy. There's no more meal to be had. It's a crisis situation. There is no best case scenario for this woman. Guys, you know what we're living in? We're living in a world that is Zarephath. A world that's in a crisis. We could name Korea, we could name China, we could name Cuba, we could name Iraq and Iran and the Middle East. And I mean, this world is in a mess. But listen, our country is a Zarephath. You listen to me. The United States of America was founded on Bible principles. It was founded by men and women who believed the Word of God was God's Word and that the heathen needed to be evangelized. Say amen. The founding fathers were not all born-again Christians, but they were all God-fearing men that believed that book was the Word of God. And we have gone long ways off of that. When they start telling you it's right for two men to marry or two women to marry, that is not Bible doctrine. Do you understand that? That's gone a long way from God. Hey, when I was a child growing up, I mean, there wasn't every store and every gas station open in this country. It was the Lord's Day, and there was blue laws in this country where they honored the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, the only minority in America today is Bible-believing Christians. Say amen right there. We're the ones that have no rights. We're the ones that they judge. But our country's a Zarephath. You know what we resemble? Sodom and Gomorrah. We're filled with filth. When there's millions upon millions of pornographic websites that you can just punch up on any device that you can hold in your hand, that's a wicked nation. Filled with ungodliness. Filled with violence. Scared to leave our children out on the front yard to play anymore. Afraid for our ladies to go into the inner city to do any shopping anymore. Filled with violence. Violent people. People drive down the road and you have fools pulling guns and shooting at them in the United States of America. I tell you, the barrel of America's blessings is just about running empty because she's turned her back on God. A cruse of oil, it's been knocked over and spilled out because of sin and degradation. I also want to say that our churches are like Zarephath. The steeples still point up, but they no longer point to God. I mean, the churches are supposed to be entertainment centers now. Supposed to be, they don't want any preaching. They just want flesh pots. Just tickle my flesh and tickle my ears and make me feel good and give me the fuzzy wuzzy was a bear and give me the warm feelings. Say amen right there. No, they don't want the scriptures. And since they don't want the scriptures, that book is not making an effect on people's lives. Those boys talked about a change. Hey, you listen to me. When you get born again by the Holy Ghost of God, you repent of your sins and trust Christ, that Holy Ghost moves into your heart. Buddy, when a holy, almighty creator moves into your life, there's going to be a change in your life. Hey, we're not here this morning because we have to be. We're here because we want to be. We're not living a clean, holy life because we have to. We want to. Said, what happened? The Holy Ghost moved in. Our want-to's changed. You must be born again or you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That old flesh of yours, that old nature of yours is never going to love the book. It'll never love holy living. It'll never love the souls of boys and girls, men and women. You've got to get born again by the Holy Ghost of God. That's what I said earlier. Benjamin, there's a lot of people trying to live the Christian life, but they ain't Christians. They said, oh, it's so hard. Oh, I'll be honest with you, I haven't found it hard. I found it good. Now listen, when I yield to that flesh, buddy, I don't want that holiness. I don't want that book. That book's a mirror. It's a spiritual mirror. It shows me how low down and no good and rotten I am. Say amen right there. Amen. That's you too. Amen. But it shows you how good and merciful and gracious the Lord is. Amen. Can I share my heart with you? You know, sometimes you got a real burden on your heart, got a real situation in your life, and you're praying about it, and you're praying about it, and weeks go by, and months go by, and a couple years go by. Buddy, you don't see any significant change. And you go, Lord, I mean, are you hearing? Is there something in my life that you're holding back these prayers? But you know, God's time schedule just is not our time schedule. You know, we like to ring that bell like God's some kind of a bellhop, and we're in trouble. We're ding, 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 ding. Where's God? Well, he's no bellhop, sweetheart. And buddy, in the last couple of weeks, the Lord has revealed something, and Mrs. Keenan and I have been going through some things and with family type things. We didn't think that there was any movement. We didn't think that there's any answers. And buddy, God's working a miracle. Working a miracle. And here I am sucking my thumb and griping and complaining and wondering. And the whole time, God's working a miracle, man. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean he ain't doing it. So what do you get back to? You get back to faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But I'll tell you, our churches, hey, our Christian homes have become a Zarephath. Hey, listen, that old man of God, Brother Lester Roloff, said, if your home's not in Bible order, there's no Bible blessings. Amen. Say amen. Right. Hey, guys, God didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. Amen. Started a home, and they had a family. And there's an authority line in that home, and it's supposed to be followed by the grace of God. You know what we're doing? We're losing a whole generation of children that were raised in church. You know why? Because it's Zarephath. It's a desert place. In the book of Judges, you don't have to turn there. It said this, and also all that generation were gathered under their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Pastor Matt's generation of kids, more have gone to the world. I'm talking about kids that were born into Christian homes. I'm talking about kids that were raised in good Bible-believing Baptist churches. They're gone to the world, the majority of them. Pastor Matt, Miss Steph, they are the exceptions to the rule, living for God. Brother Caleb and Peter and Timothy and these young ladies, they're the exception nowadays. That's not the rule. Said, why? Because our homes are Zarephath. I said, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm getting at there's all kinds of fornication, abortion. I mean, isn't it amazing that they would justify abortion in the United States of America when you read the Word of God, and the Word of God never uses the word pregnant when it talks about a woman having a baby. It always says what? She's with child. It's not a mess of protoplasm. It's a child. It's a human soul that'll spend eternity in heaven or hell. It's murder. That's what it is. And marriage is defiled. Divorce rates up in the church as much as it's up in the world. Widowed by desertion and adultery. And we have another generation. They don't know God. They don't want anything to do with the house of God. It's a Zarephath. You know what this widow in 1 Kings chapter 17, she's going to fix her last meal and she's going to say she dies. Why? Because she has no hope. She has no hope. She is just resolved to eat that meal with that boy and die. And I believe in the United States of America today, our country, our churches, our families are dying. You know what we're doing? We're remembering about past revivals. You know what we're doing? We're remembering about past movements of God, about past glory. I tell you, what happened to the day when good old-fashioned preaching drew people to the house of God? No, now they want entertainment. Now they want a floor show. No. We need to get back to the old paths where the old-fashioned Bible preaching and the presence. Hey, I'm telling you what, you get the glory of God down in the church, that will draw sinners to themselves. Hey, listen to me. Religion is sending more people to hell than dope and liquor and adultery combined. Religion doesn't save. Jesus saves. You must be born again. But you get the presence of God. You get a church house full of people who are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, are walking with Him day by day, and the joy bells are just flooding out of their hearts. Sinners are going to see that. They're going to get in the presence of God. The Holy Ghost will work in their hearts, draw them to the Savior. But no, we get our enjoyment at the football game, watching the boob tube, worldly entertainment. No, buddy, this is the highlight of my week. Sunday morning, Sunday night. And then about Wednesday night, I'm empty, amen? Thank God we get to go to church again, get full back up. Oh, don't look at me like that. You leak as much as I leak. Amen? I mean, some of you leak so much Sunday morning to Sunday night, you got to get right Sunday night from Sunday morning, amen? Thank God. She's going to die. I tell you, it's good to see the glory of God. Church house. Buddy, when you people start hitting out that door, as soon as I say amen, you're in trouble, you hear? But I'll preach the hell out of you for an hour and a half. Then y'all stand around for 45 minutes to an hour and just talk and fellowship and laugh like you're having a good time. You know what the world thinks you are? Mentally retarded. No, we've been saved, man. We are not of this world. We're not of this world. You know what Oswald Chambers said? I'm quoting him. He said, Bible faith is not in the rule, R-U-L-E, rule of God, but it's in the God who rules. You know what so many people are trying to do, Brother Frank? They're trying to follow rules and regulations and call that Christianity. That's not Christianity. That's what Paul called legalism. You know, I do this, I do this, I do this, this makes me a good person. You do all the do's you want to do, you're still wicked as hell. Say amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. No, it's the God who rules. He died for us on Calvary, shed His precious blood. He took your sins. He took my sins. He took the sins of this world and put it on His body. John the Baptist saw Jesus walking down to the River Jordan and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He paid the atonement. He paid for your sins. He paid for my sins. If there was any other way for you to get to heaven, Jesus would have not gone to Calvary. But there's no other way for you to get in. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ye must be born again, or you cannot enter. Hey, I got born January 16th, 1953. Came into this world. You said, how do you know? That's what the birth certificate says, and here I am. Buddy, I got born again March 20th, 1975. Bob McNeil opened up the scriptures, showed me I was lost and gone to hell. Buddy, at 22 years of age, I was filled up to here with sin. I was tired of sinning. No peace in my heart. Showed me that Christ loved me and died for me. That night I trusted Christ as my Savior. My life has never been the same.
Yeah. Amen.
Right. Amen. I come from a bad background. Not proud of it, but that's just life. But you know what? I have a son up here. He's 39 years old. He came from a Christian home. But you know what he did at 13 years of age? He got born again. Said why? Because he was a sinner. Going to hell. The same hell that I was going to with a bad background. He comes out of a Christian home. He's gone to the same hell. You must be born again. So what happens? That Holy Ghost will change you. You know what's happening today? Preachers, church members, Christians, they're just hanging on. It's like they're just gathering a couple of sticks and moving to eat their last meal. Guys, we can't do anything about our past. But you know what? The Lord God can help us to do something about our present. We don't have to just hang on. Think of this widow's problems. Would you think with me just a moment? Her husband has died. The breadwinner is gone. There doesn't seem to be any neighbors or relatives or family to help. All loved ones are gone. Me and the boy, we're going to die. You know what I wonder? I wonder what she's going to tell that boy. This is going to be your last meal. There's no hope for the future. There's nothing for you to do. Can I sort of paraphrase what I think in my regenerated imagination Elijah had to say to this lady? He could see her despair. Could you not? He said, hey, lady, let's just forget about these sticks. Let's just forget about this little bit of meal and little bit of oil. And I know that barrel's just about empty, but let me tell you about Almighty God, who with God, all things are possible. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Buddy, I think that old preacher got the preaching to that lady. Amen? You know, our hope today, guys, is not in what we can see. It's in God being God. Hey, is the Lord's arm shortened that it cannot save? Hey, is the promises of God today as sure as yea and yea as it was 1,000 years ago? Yes. Yes. It is. It's in God. My faith is not in America. My faith is certainly not in the political system. My faith isn't in the barrel. My faith isn't in the oil. My faith is in God. My faith is in His promises and His power, His word. Faith, Hebrews chapter 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Go with me to Romans chapter 4 if you would, please. Romans chapter number 4. Let's pick up in verse number 18. This is talking about Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse number 18. Hey, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you know, hey, listen to me. We read that Bible, and we make heroes out of men and women in, out of that Bible. Isn't that true? You talk about Rahab the harlot. Talk about Joshua and Moses. But you know what they were? Topel. They were just ordinary men and women like you and me, but they had faith in God. And when God told them to do something, Benjamin, they just did it. Didn't matter what the world or the crowd had to say, they just believed God and they did it. And God blessed them. And we think they're heroes. No, they were just like us. But they believed God. Buddy, I'm in Romans chapter 8. You got an old man. How old was Abraham? He's 100 years old. Anybody in here 100 years old? I know some of y'all think I am. You know, Bree was driving to camp, and she saw a big billboard on the sign. A big billboard, and on the sign of the billboard, it said, a bank opened since 1850. And Brianna's looking at the billboard. She goes, hey, Mommy, look, that bank's older than Pop. Thank you. It was older than Pop. But he's 100 years old. His wife's 90 years old. When's the last time you heard about a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman having a baby? Huh? I mean, we're not even near that yet, huh? But our baby-making days are over. Praise the Lord. Oh, you come talk to me after you've had 9, raised 9. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. So I'm in Romans 4. Let's pick up in verse 18. This is after God had promised him as an old man that he's going to have a baby, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now listen, was he a dead man? No, but physically, having children, he's dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. You know what I believe? I believe God spoke to Abraham. I believe he said, Abraham, you and that woman, you're going to have a baby. And he said, yes, sir, Lord. And I believed he got his little donkey and his little cart. And I believe on his way home, he stopped at Walmart. I believe he went down to Walmart. He went down to the baby section. He goes down to the baby section and he buys a bunch of baby diapers and he buys a bunch of onesies and he buys a few rattles and he buys a few Flyers jerseys and because it was going to be a boy. And he goes home with all these bags and he walks into the house and Sarah goes, "What do you got there, Abraham?" He said, "Look at this. I got baby diapers and I got onesies and I got rattles." She goes, "What's the matter with you, old man?" She said, "Let me tell you what God said." And she said, "Well, what did God say?" "God said, we're going to have a baby." She goes, "Oh, man, you're crazy." And then I can see him say, "Hey, Sarah, sweetheart, we got to put to action what God said." And what happened? They had a baby. Are y'all with me? They believed God. They weren't worried about it. They didn't stagger. You know what's happening to the church? They're staggering at the promises. Well, this is 2017. God doesn't do what he used to do. You're wrong. He's just looking for somebody he can bless that has a little bit of faith. Let me give you another. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Let me pick up in verse number 8. Hebrews 11, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. See, faith obeys. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hey, y'all know Jeremiah 33:3. Quote it with me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Buddy, I pastored in Newport, Pennsylvania for 18 and a half years. You know what I saw? I saw revival. I pastored up in Gloversville, New York for 8.5 years. You know what we saw up there? We saw revival. Hey, you know what? I want my grandchildren to see revival. I want your children to see the revival that you guys got saved in. The same kind of revival that changed your lives. I want your grandchildren, and I say that by faith, to see the same revival that brought you from Boston, Massachusetts to Gloversville, New York. Y'all with me? I want to see it. Amen. I believe God wants to do it. I don't believe God's withholding blessings. I believe we're not allowing him to bless. Hey, he went into his home country and he could not do many miracles there. Why couldn't he do any miracles? Because of their unbelief. Amen. You tie God's hands when you lack faith in the Word of God. When you don't obey what God says to do, you limit the Holy One of Israel, the psalmist says. I'm telling you, God can do anything. I mean, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Tell you what. Let's go back to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Faith cometh by and hearing by the Word of God. We need to be in that book, people. Hey, that television isn't helping you grow in the Lord. Those DVD Hollywood movies and that internet nonsense isn't helping you to grow. I mean, so what? You wake up, you give God 5 minutes of Bible and give him 13 hours of television and internet? Hey, that's going to fill your mind and your heart with the wrong stuff. I'm in Psalm 81, verse number 10. I am the Lord thy God. Do you believe that? I believe the same God that brought Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt, he's my God. Amen. He's my Lord and Savior. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide. What will we do? I will fill it. Remember the story of the little boy went to the penny candy store? Went in with his mama, and she was buying her stuff. And it was this is the old-fashioned country hardware store. And so she was checking out, and he had a big old basket of some kind of candy or something. And so the owner reaches down there and he offers the boy, he says, "Go ahead, son, take a handful." Boy, he just stuck his hand behind his back and just put his head down. And He just kept telling him. And his mama said, go ahead, son, go ahead. He said you can have it. And he just sort of backed away like that. So finally, the man, he took a handful and gave it to the boy. So they're walking home, and the mother goes, son, why didn't you get that handful of candy like that man said? He said, mommy, because his hands are a whole lot bigger than mine. Man, I don't want just what I can get. I want to see what God can do. Amen? Amen. I know we're living in 2017. Not supposed to see those old-fashioned revivals. I know you can't see people get saved, and you can't see people added to the church and changing their lives and growing in the ground. I know what they say, but I know the Bible says with God all things are possible. I know that Bible says you sow that seed and you water that seed and sinners will be converted by the grace of God. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. Let me give you one more verse. Go to Psalm 92 with me. Just over a few pages, Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse number 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be what? Planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Boy, that's a blessing to me. Amen. I can still serve the Lord. I can still, as an old man, see the fruit of God by the grace of God. I can have an effect in young people and teenagers and old people and middle-aged people. We can see the touch of God done here. I mean, when you send a bunch of kids to camp and one young man comes back with the call of God on his life to preach, I'm telling you, God is stirring around. That's what we want to see. Hey, I mean, we tell you, when two ladies are eyeball deep in the ministry and they go away for a week and not one ministry suffers because people just fill in and take care of business, I'm telling you, God is moving around. I like it. I like it. Where was I? I was getting all excited about flourishing. And then I was excited about bringing forth fruit in old age. Amen? Amen. They shall be fat. See, I am scriptural. I figured you'd amen that, Kevin. I asked Kevin when he was due, amen. Fat and flourishing, verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Can I say something about this widow lady? She's not a bad lady. No, she's not sinful. But the truth is, she's just going through the motions. Like she's bored. Now she's dotting I's and she's crossing T's, but she's just holding on. That's not how I want to finish up. I don't think that's how we should want to finish up. Make no mistake, guys. God wants us to dot our I's and cross our T's properly. He's given us that book. He wants us to live right. He wants us to live holy. But I'm telling you, God wants to bless us. I'm a father. You talk to any man that's a father, a good father. Do you know what he wants to do? He wants to bless his kids. He wants to give. I don't just mean worldly stuff. He wants to give knowledge. He wants to give experience. He wants to give discernment. He wants to give some help so they don't hit the same potholes that we hit. Well, our God in heaven, he's our heavenly Father, those of us that are saved. But he wants to bless us. He wants to use us for his honor. And for his glory. You know what God wants to do? He wants to do something special at Old Paths Baptist Church. You know what God wants to do? He wants to do something special in the area that he has planted us. Parksburg, At Glen, Gap. He wants to do something special. He's just looking for somebody that'll believe it. Somebody that'll grab a handful of his promises and do it. This widow's done. She's all through. The only thing she saw was an empty barrel, an empty cruise, no more food. But you know what? God wasn't done. Are you understanding what I'm trying to get at here? I was looking for this song in our songbook, and I couldn't find it. And the name of the song is He Giveth More Grace. Boy, I wish I could sing. If I start reading this and you catch the tune, you help me out here. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. The chorus, his love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. That's my Lord. You ever mess up? Now, I don't mean just from this morning. And he's forgiven us. He's had mercy on us. He picks us up and dusts us off and pats us on the bottom and says, go ahead, get on again. He doesn't hold it against us. It's under the blood. It's gone. It's washed away. It's mercy. Oh, man. We see the emptiness. We see because there's no faith. Because there's no hope. She just saw the empty cruse and the empty barrel. She didn't see what God could do. Guys, we got to have faith. We've got to have hope. It does not have to be hopeless in our home. It does not have to be hopeless at Old Pass. It does not have to be hopeless in Parksburg and Gap and all the At Glen and all the surrounding little towns. You said, why? Because when we get to the bottom of our barrel, God gets interested. Amen. Showing his power, showing his mercy. Could I tell you a story? Back in the second half of the 1800s, there was a preacher who told this story. His name was R.B. Flexen. And this man was preaching at this old country church in Virginia. It was a very small country church. There was an old widow woman. She was a washerwoman. Now, this is second half of the 1800s. She's a widow. She's very poor. She made a very meager living. But she was a sure enough born again, blood washed child of God. And she loved the Lord with all her heart. She went to this little country church and they were having a revival. And before the revival, she had received a letter in the mail. And what it said is that she was an heir to an estate of a distant relative. And she was going to inherit $500. Now, I know $500 doesn't sound much today, but back in her day, with her economic situation, it was a fortune. She sort of really doubted it, so she went down to the lawyer with the paper, and he said, sure enough, you're going to get $500. So they did all the paperwork, and she got the five. That was more money than that woman had ever had in her life. So she said to the lawyer, what should I do with all this money? He said, the best thing for you to do is go down to your banker and talk to your banker and he'll tell you the best thing to do with your money. So long story short, the banker says what you should do is deposit it in this account. You'll get interest and every month I will write you a check for 83 cents in interest. Back in those days, I guess that was a bunch of money. And she said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. Well, the revival came. This widow woman had two grown men, sons, and they were wayward. They weren't right with the Lord. She didn't even think that they were saved. And they had picked up, you know, when they had hit their late teens or early 20s, and they went out west for the gold rush and mining and looking for their fortune out there. Every Wednesday night prayer meeting, she'd raise her hand. She'd say, please pray for God to save my boys. She loved the Lord. She'd sing while she was washing. She had the joy of the Lord about her. And she's in that revival meeting, and an evangelist, he knew nothing about her situation, he knew nothing about the church, and he was preaching, and he said this the first night of the meeting. He said that he believed that God had called him to go out to Colorado and start a church. And he said, as soon as the Lord supplies $500, I'm on my way to Colorado to start a church. Well, you know, as she was sitting there, it popped into her mind, I've got $500. I could help that man get to Colorado. And she was sort of purposed about doing that. So the next morning, she goes to the banker, and she explains to the banker what she wants to do. Another long story short, the banker talked her out of it and talked her into putting the first 83 cents interest into the offering. So the second night of the meeting, she goes to the meeting, puts her 83 cents in there, and goes home. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was quenched in her heart. She knows that she had done wrong. She has no peace. The joy bells had left. So her testimony was about 1 o'clock that morning. She got down on the bed, asked the Lord to forgive her for not putting the $500 in, said that she'd put the $500 in the next night. So the next day, she goes to the banker. She said, "Sir, is that money your money or my money?" And the banker said, "It's your money." She says, "Good, give me my money because I am putting it in the bank and doing it." Yeah. So that's what she did. She put it in the offering. And you know what that preacher did? He kept his word and he moved out to Colorado. He went into some little mountain town up in Colorado and he rented a storefront right downtown in that city and started a mission. The first morning that he was in business, here come these two old miners and their pockets are full of gold nuggets and gold dust and they are going to kick it up and make a merry time. And as they're walking by that storefront of that mission, they hear a sound. They hear some music. And the one man said to the other guy, I think his name was Joe. He said, "Hey, Joe, isn't that Mom's favorite song?" And he said, "You know, I think it was." He said, "Let's go in there." He goes, no, don't go in there. There's religion in there. Don't go in there." Well, he had his way, and he went in. And they played that song. And those old hardened miners, tears just started running down their cheeks. And so the singers were done that song, and there's only a few people in there. It was their first Sunday. Just a few people. And the one miner raised his hand. He said, hey, would you all mind singing that song again? That was our mom's favorite song. So sure enough, they sang it again, and the preacher got up after the singing, and he preached, and the Holy Ghost broke those two miners' hearts. They went forward that morning. They accepted Christ as their personal Savior, got saved by the grace of God. So afterwards, they're talking with the preacher and said, "You know, we were in town a month ago, and this place wasn't even here." He said, "No." He said, "I was preaching a meeting in this certain town." He named a town in Virginia. And he said, "I needed $500 to come out here, and a lady in that town by the name of gave me $500. And they said, "Her name was what? In what town in Virginia?" And those boys looked at one another. And they walked out of that mission. They said, "We need to go home." But they went down to the train station, bought a train ticket. It took them 3 days to get from Colorado to Virginia. And they walked down off the train station, walked to Mom's house, and there she is out in the middle of the front yard. And she's washing her clothes. And she's singing the songs of Zion. And they opened up that gate, and she heard that gate screech. And she said, "Boys." And those boys came up to her, and they said, "Mom, did you give $500 to Pastor so-and-so that he could start a church out west?" And she goes, "Boys, I'm sorry, but that's what God told me to do." They said, "Mom, last Sunday we went to that mission and we got saved by the grace of God." Oh. Buddy, they started dancing right in the middle of the front yard. Amen. Said, why? Because with God, all things are possible. There's no limitation on what God can do. Hey, I want to tell you something. Our barrels may be empty, but that's just when God starts getting interested. Amen. He doesn't want you to take the glory for what's going to go on. We do not have to be pitiful. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to have some cold attitude with some shriveled up spirit. Buddy, that woman in John chapter 4, she was at the well. She couldn't even go to the well when the other women went because she's a fallen woman. But buddy, she went to that well and she met Jesus there at the well and she goes back into Samaria. One fallen woman got saved, but a whole revival came to Samaria because of that woman. Buddy, she believed God saved her and she's going to tell everybody she could that God saved her. Revival broke out. Hey, I want to tell you something. God's not finished with you. I said, how do you know God's not finished? Because you're breathing. Because you're alive. He's not finished with our church. He's not finished in Parksburg or at Glen or Gap or Paradise or any. God, he wants to do something in our families, in our homes. Can I give you something? Hey, you shouldn't be without hope. Look at Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. Hey, all of us have been through different circumstances, family, financial, work, relatives, whatever it may be. And sometimes we lose hope that God will do something. Tell you, we can have hope in God. You won't get mad if I share my heart. You know, I got a couple boys, you know, not in church and just not living for the Lord. And we've been praying for them years and years and years and years. You know, those boys are not going to tell us when God deals with them. But you know what? God, every once in a while, gives us a little glimpse. And you know what we found out about one of those boys? He's dating a lost girl. And he went to an independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. And guess what? That lost girl liked it. And she wants to go back. So what she needs? Well, she needs to get saved. Amen. But buddy, see how God can do things. Don't quit trusting Him. Don't quit praying. Don't quit. Just because your barrel's empty, God's barrel's not empty. And He can fill, keep yours filled. I'm in Romans 15. Look at verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We don't have to have that shriveled up thing. Parents, don't give up hope. Some of us have prodigals out there. Don't give up hope. God is able. I know some of these young ones, they're driving you nuts. Ah! Tim, go like this. You're one of them, yes. Daniel, this is a good time to say, amen, preacher. I'm one of them driving my folks nuts. Don't give up hope. We're not looking for what you can do. Alyssa, mommy's tapping you. Don't give up hope. God is not done with his kids. No. Marriages. Oh, man. After your relationship with the Lord, you can have a special marriage if you'll submit yourself to God, if you'll obey like Abraham obeyed, if you young people will wait for God's choice for your life. Don't you pick them out for crying out loud. Let God pick them out. Tim, trust God on this one. Would you do that, Tim? I know you're smart. I know you got a high IQ. I know you're an engineering student, but don't pick out your own wife. Amen. Let God do it. Say amen right there. Amen. Go ahead, just nod your heads like that. I'll hear them rattle, okay? Amen. I bet you Pastor Matt's glad that God picked his wife out. Amen. Bet you Miss Steph's glad that God picked her husband out. Amen. Amen. I'm glad God picked mine out. Hey, you know what God had to do? I was down in Miami, Florida, Frank. Miami, Florida. I was lost. I had a 1968 Mustang. I was getting $50 a month put into my account. I was living in the honor dorm. The honor dorm meant that there was no supervision there. I was 20 minutes from the beach. I was not saved. You know what God did? God worked circumstances in my heathen life. The providence of God took me from there, took me up to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, put me in Villanova and crossed paths with this lovely young lady over here by the grave on a blind date. And I don't even believe in dating no more. So what's that? The providence of God. He said that Kenan doesn't have the sense to come in out of the rain. If he picks his mate, he will mess up big time. I better help him out. Man, am I glad he helped me out. Amen. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. Don't pick out your own wife, Josh. Amen. Do you have anybody picked out, Josh? Can I say something? Sometimes our children see our inconsistencies, and the devil magnifies that in them. You listen to me. It is never wrong if you mess up to tell those kids, I messed up. You forgive me. I'm going to try to do better with the help of God. Are y'all with me? Don't act like you never mess up. Those kids mess up a bunch, and you know what they do? They see you, And sometimes the devil will cement that in their minds. I'll tell you what we need. We need the Holy Ghost to move on them. We need parents to pray and pray and pray. You know what some church members and Christians have done? They've given up. They're barely hanging on. You know, this is no time to be uncommitted to the Lord. We don't need Sunday morning religion. We need a personal, fervent relationship with Jesus Christ every day of our life. We need to give our all to the Lord. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. He bought you from hell. He saved you by the grace of God. The minimum you could do is give Him your all. Hey, I want to ask you something. You expect me to give my all when I'm preaching to y'all? You expect me to study and pray and get God and get ready and try to get something that would help you through life? Well, hey, why don't you expect that of yourself in your daily life with the Lord? Be committed to Him. Listen to me. If your priorities are right in life, you'll make right decisions in life. If Jesus Christ is first and foremost, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then you'll make right decisions in your life based on faith in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Yeah, you don't want to just hang on. You know what David said when he was going to go fight Goliath? And he's just a lad, and they were making fun of him. He said, is there not a cause? Folks, is there not a cause? You know, God moved us up to New York, and I was wondering why in the world God would ever move me to a communist state like New York. But you know, there was a cause. There's Kevin and Lori. Be saved by the grace of God. There's Marisa to meet. And there's all those people, all those children that got to hear the gospel and get saved up there. Are y'all with me? There is a cause. I tell you what the enemy, the adversary, the devil wants to do is he wants us to get off our mission and get us chasing after things that satisfy this flesh rather than the most important thing in life. Amen? Yeah. You know what we need to do? We need to fight. That book says fight the good fight of faith. I'm telling you, if you're going to have that close, intimate relationship with the Lord, it's going to be a fight to put your flesh down every day. Read your Bible and study your Bible and pray. Have a holy walk with the Lord. It's nothing but a fight. But we need to fight. We should want a vibrant Christianity. I mean, it should be bubbling up in us so much that it's just ready to shoot out at any time. Ben was in line at Walmart. Walmart's a great place to witness. Amen. Amen. And he's in line at Walmart. And was it a teenage girl that had that magazine? Younger than that. She had one of those ratty magazines that they sell in those things, you know, and her mother or father said, put that thing back. So Ben pulls out some Chick Tracks. He goes, here, hey, you want to read these things? And so she picked a couple of Chick Tracks and everything. And then the father goes, hey, what do you got there? And so Ben says, I got a track. He said, you want some tracks? Well, the guy's Christian. He's a youth leader or something like that somewhere around the bar. Amen. Hey, when it's bubbling up, you don't have to force it out of there. We should want a vibrant, that's between you and the Lord. We should want to have obedience to the Word of God. We should want anointed witnessing, anointed service for Jesus Christ. We walk into that juvenile, walk into that jailhouse. You want an anointing of God on your life so you can touch others. You teach that class in India to those Indian preachers. You want the touch of God on your life. You can affect those people there. And who's it by? By a bunch of nobodies, Pete. That's what we are. Hey, what's that woman's name? What was that widow of Zarephath's name? Doesn't even give us her name. See, it wasn't about her. It's about the Lord. And she was just that vessel that God could put in there by the grace of God. Did you notice that she was obedient, Lori? Did you notice when the preacher said, never mind that, just get me a glass of water, would you do that? Oh, I know you're going to, just forget about that. You bring me a piece of bread. Now, that sort of seems selfish and self-centered on the preacher's part, huh? Yeah. And some of y'all, you sit there and the preacher preaches the Word of God. You say, well, that's just his interpretation. No, that's what the Bible says. Right. You need to, by faith, obey. Whether you can see the end or not, you need to trust Him that it's right to do right. So we should fight for that vibrant, and it's just a bunch of nobodies. We need to let God work in our lives, our homes, our church, our towns, and not limit the Holy One of Israel. Wouldn't you like to see that power fall? Wouldn't you like to taste that revival? Souls saved, families at it, lives changed. Or just take some nobodies that'll believe God, do what God wants them to do. Make sure he gets all the glory and all the honor for it by the grace of God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We'll just take a few minutes and pray. You mind the Lord this morning.